Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. Here's the podcast for Connecting Faith. Enjoy the conversation.
Real conversations about how we live out our faith every day. Welcome to Connecting Faith.
Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. It's good to have you along today. Appreciate your tuning in. Now, today on Faith Radio, our conversation here on Connecting Faith is going to focus on how do we build bridges with Muslims. And we're looking forward to jumping back in with our guest who has been on a number of times with us, Fuad Masri, who is the founder of the Crescent Project. But as it turns out, sadly, there has been another incident in London with an apparent attack, a number of people injured, police officers included. And so, and it's on the anniversary, the one-year anniversary of the Brussels attack. We know that there is a radical element in our world today that wishes to do harm. And we want to talk about that because it will, I think, lead to our discussion about how do we build bridges with our Muslim neighbors, co-workers, and hopefully friends. So to help us do that today, Fuad Masri will join us, who was born and raised in Beirut, Lebanon, and came to the United States to attend seminary and realized the urgency of teaching American Christians to reach out to a growing population of internationals, particularly Muslims, and founded the Crescent Project in 1989. He's written a number of books, one of them called Connecting with Muslims, A Guide to Communicating Effectively. He's also developed the Bridges One Day in Sierra Challenge training programs and produced and taught on the DVD series Bridges, Christians Connecting with Muslims. And you can find out more about their great organization. Get on their prayer team, the CrescentProject.org. Fuad, welcome back to Connecting Faith. And today, obviously, the events in the news kind of lead our conversation.
Yes, thank you, Neil. Great to be with you and with our listeners. We live in difficult times. Jihad has been taught in Islam since the inception of that religion, and jihad is being practiced daily. As we see, not even killings in London or Brussels, but killings in Iraq and Syria and Turkey and Saudi Arabia, Yemen, Egypt, Libya. The Muslim world is collapsing because it built a religion on the sand. You cannot build a religion on the sword, on killing people, on making people not even think or question. And this is what you're seeing. People feel that Islam is superior and Islam needs to conquer, so they will do whatever to harass and kind of take vengeance on people. It is said that one of the people who died was died by a car. And this has been a weapon, a favorite weapon of lone wolves across even the Middle East, where they jump in a car and they use that as a weapon to kill people. And so a woman died today on, I think they were on the Westminster Bridge. I'm really burdened. I was in London not too long ago. But really burdened for us as believers to pray that Muslims in England will come to know Christ, that Christians in England will love Jesus in a way that they will love Muslims, that they will love Jesus, so they will welcome Muslims. This is a time for our faith to shine, not a time to let the darkness, as you say, win. We don't want the darkness to win. We want the light to shine and overcome the darkness.
Well, I think maybe before we go any further, would you lead us in a moment of prayer today for those that have been affected in London and obviously elsewhere around the world, Syria and those that, I mean, there is, we don't want the darkness to win indeed. So lead us in prayer, if you would.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending Jesus to be the light of the world. Thank you that his light guide us and his light shines in our heart and his light shines so we can see clearly. Lord, today we live in an age of anger, of murder, of hate, of Islamic Jihad. We pray, Father, that today you will send your Holy Spirit and ignite an awakening in the hearts of Muslims, that they will see you, Jesus, in a different light. Father, we pray that we believers will love you, Jesus, so much. We'll love you more than stuff, and toys and money and positions and politics, that we love you so much that we will tell Muslims about you. Father, this morning you said for us to ask and we will receive. So we are asking in the name of Jesus that you will crush militant Islam, that you set the captives free, that the people who are trying to hurt others will be caught, and that you will give these nations, all nations, that they will give them godly leadership, leadership that is fearful of you and do justly with their citizens. We pray all this in Jesus' name.
Amen. 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 Thank you, Fuad. So let's begin there. We have some perception issues, and fear seems to be the driving emotion. How do we get past our distrust and start changing the perception? You've been talking about building bridges for years. How does that begin?
Yes, thank you. I mean, growing up in the war in Lebanon, that was an issue all the time. And before I got saved, my solution was, if people hate me, I'll hate them back. If the people wish me ill, I'll wish them ill. But when I got saved, Jesus changed the way I view things. For Christ, the problem was not religion. The problem was not education or money or economics. The problem was the heart. Many times when you look at the life of the Messiah, they would try to trick him, you know, to move the conversation into some kind of political solution or religious solution. The Pharisees said to him, why are you letting the disciples eat on the Sabbath? And another time they asked him, do we give tax to Caesar? The beautiful thing about our Savior, he knew that he is the way, the truth, and the life. So whatever happened around Jesus, it was coming back to him. He will save us. And that's what happened to me. I discovered, I had hate. I had hate for my neighbors. I had hate for the Palestinians for killing my friend Waleed. I had hate even for the Israelis because my mom is Syrian. I had second cousins who fought in the Golan Heights and cousins who fought there. But when I became a believer, I didn't see people anymore by religion or race. Christ changed my mind to pray for the Jewish people, to pray for the Palestinians, to pray for my neighbors who are Shia or Sunni or Catholic or evangelical. It doesn't matter the person's label. Now the person is God's creation. And the solution that we are looking for today in the 21st century continues to be a political solution. Even I visit churches, and we think that somehow, there's some kind of political step that we take and will solve the problem. I'm not minimizing good leadership. No, we need good leaders. We need a good constitution. These countries have been suffering. The Muslim countries have been suffering for years under dictators. So, yeah, we should give them a ability to rule themselves in a good and just constitution. However, this is the United States of America. We have a great constitution, and we still have our problems. Just look at the prison population, and we know that the issue in America is deeper than just a good constitution. It is a salvation need, a need of a savior, a need of someone's heart to be changed from being following self indulgence, pride, to living for Jesus. So the same thing, when you look at the Muslim world, when you look at the terrorists, when you look at the look at Muslim populations, maybe you're walking in the store and you see a lady with a hijab. For me, I don't like the hijab. I get offended by it. But when I look at it, I remember Jesus is saying to me, there's a person behind that hijab. There's a person that behind it inside the mosque. That person, I send Christ to be his savior and her savior. So this is where I think as Christians, we need to be upset. Absolutely. We should be angry. This is not acceptable. I was watching a newscaster, and he was like, well, it's about time that America gets used to terrorism. No way we should get used to terrorism. No way this is a way of life. It's not acceptable that anybody should be killed because they're from a different religion. Are we afraid? Sure. That is very normal fear. Feeling and, to be afraid. It is normal to be afraid and angry. But what Jesus is asking us today is to move beyond our anger and beyond our fear to take a step of action. Muslims today need to know the Savior Jesus. Before September 11, 2001, everybody's like, oh, everybody's happy, go lucky, kumbaya. No. What we're saying today is, if you haven't seen this happening every day, we are noticing that the Muslim world has not given us the solution, has not given us the solution that we're looking for. Only Jesus can. Whether you're American or African or, you know, Muslim background, Christian background, Hindu background, we are all in need of the Savior Jesus.
Fouad, we're going to take a quick break here and then talk more, go into some detail, some ways that we can witness like Jesus, and maybe some frameworks for that, for building bridges. But just reminds me, as you've said, that, you know, we need to be praying for our neighbors, for our friends, for our coworkers, for those that, you know, have hate in their hearts. You have a regular prayer list. So why don't, before we go to break, just say a word about, you know, getting people to sign up on the Crescent Project prayer list.
Yes, every Friday at noon, we ask people to pray for Muslims, and they can go to our website, crescentproject.org, and sign up for praying with us, and they will receive an email as a reminder.
CrescentProject.org. It's a Friday noon prayer, and you can, of course, you don't have to wait till Friday to pray, but we are encouraging you that that is where this begins, this journey. We're talking about connecting with Muslims, a guide to communicating effectively, from Fouad Masri, who's author of Ambassadors to Muslims and a number of other books. He is the founder of the Crescent Project, founded back in 1989. He's passionate about helping us reach out to a growing population of internationals, particularly Muslims, with the good news of the gospel. He does the Bridges DVD, teacher on that, producer of that. Also a Bridges one-day seminar and a Sierra Challenge, which is a week-long training program. We'll talk more about those things coming up as well. If you have a question or would like to join in the conversation, you're welcome to call us at 877-933-2484. That's 877-93-FAITH. More with Fouad Masri from the Crescent Project just ahead. Praying for breakthroughs today. Love would break through. The love of Christ would break through those hearts that have been darkened by the evil one. And they're hearing today from Fouad Masri, who's born and raised in the war zone of Beirut, Lebanon. He's a third-generation pastor-ordained minister and has a passion for sharing the love of Christ with Muslims and spent most of his life just doing that, talking about the Crescent Project, that wonderful organization and ministry that he founded back in 1989. CrescentProject.org is the website. He's written several books, including Connecting with Muslims. And Fouad, let's talk about some of the framework for making those connections. If we want to witness like Jesus to a Muslim today, what would that look like?
You know, one of the things that we need to know as believers, the Holy Spirit is with us. We have what it takes. Many times people come to our training. We love people to come to our training, and we'll give them new ideas and new ways to serve. But many times they think, well, somehow if you speak Arabic or you're from the Middle East, God will use you more, or God will use you in a better way. That's not the case. Jesus gave the Great Commission to everybody. So the first thing I would like us to know as believers, we are all serving Christ. We are all filled with His Holy Spirit. We are all able to be an ambassador for Him. So first and foremost, we are an ambassador. We represent Jesus in our walk, in our talk, in the way we greet people. Even if someone looks different or someone is acting, in Islamic way that maybe we feel uncomfortable, we can still show them love and be an ambassador about our Savior. One of my favorite testimony is my friend Mustafa moves to the United States from Iraq. He comes here, and he's going in the gym. And there's this guy who has a Harley Davidson, comes up and, you know, works out next to him. So, you know, they started talking about the Harley Davidson, about, you know, pumping weights. And they started becoming just friends. Hello. And the guy said to him, "You have an accent. Where are you from?" He goes, "Well, I'm from Iraq." Well, the American goes, "Oh, yeah. I have friends who are serving in the United States Army down there." In a few months, the American gentleman invited the Iraqi gentleman to church. Mustafa comes to church for the first time. He sees how people pray. how people worship. He starts reading the Bible, and a year later he becomes a believer. But it started by somebody who, you know, rode his Harley up down to the, you know, local gym to pump weights, but his character, the way he was an ambassador for Jesus, made Mustafa want to consider Christ. And Mustafa is a dear friend. He speaks in our conferences, and a wonderful young man that's really growing in his faith. And so many times, the first thing we need to know is Jesus is with us. Let's take the initiative. Let's talk to them. And Islam is wrong. Yeah, we know Islam is wrong. We know Islam doesn't have the answer. But Muslims are the victim, you know. Islam continues to be the problem. They teach jihad. They teach polygamy. They teach taqiyya. They teach riddah. Yes, there are many issues in Islam. But instead of focusing on the negative, let's look at the person and say, let's reach out to him. Because when that person, whether it's a man or woman, whether it's a teenager or even an older man, when we talk to them, they come to faith in Christ, and God will use them to share with their family. I was in Oregon visiting a family from Iraq, and the older gentleman, the grandfather, he's almost in his 80s. He finds out I speak Arabic, so he sits next to me and my friend Tim, who's their kind of church liaison, helping them with furniture, the refugees. And this old gentleman, this gracious man, tells me a dream he had in Iraq 25 years ago. He saw Jesus in his dream. And he said to me, I know it was Jesus, the son of Mary. And I asked him, I said, would you like to read the Bible? And he asked me for an Arabic Injil, Arabic New Testament. The exciting part is God already was working. You know, we see somebody who's maybe older man or older woman, or you see a young man or young woman, maybe they dressed in an Islamic garb, you think, oh, God is not working. And God repeatedly shows me that he is actively working on this planet. He has never left his throne, and he is building his church.
Just want to say amen at the end of every time Fouad tells us a story. And I love what you said, Fouad. Just take the initiative. Say more about what that could look like. Because you seem to get into a lot of conversations, just sort of, you know, maybe everyday kind of man on the street conversations. It's not always that you've been building long-term relationships, although I know you do that as well. But are there different approaches if we're just having a conversation with, you know, someone at the gas station or the gym?
That's true. That's a good one, Neil, because I like our listeners to know that, yes, we want to build friendships, and the hardest people to talk to about Jesus are your coworkers and your family members. So when you have that stress, it's okay. It's okay. So if you know someone, maybe married a Muslim, you might stress out. You might say, well, man, this person married, you know, he's my cousin or she's my cousin, or, you know, it's hard. It's okay. That's where we want to, as you say in English, create a prayer movement. Get friends, get people around you. I usually like to use the word bake. You know how you make the dough and you put the dough in the oven and then you raise the temperature. Many times prayer is like the oven. You say, Lord, I don't know how to start this conversation. My coworker at work, I have to be professional. At work, I cannot be talking other stuff than work. Or you might be a doctor, you might be a nurse, you might be a teacher, maybe you're, you know, a truck driver, maybe you're a bus driver. You know, it doesn't matter your job. It's hard to share the gospel. So say, Lord, you open the conversation. In a sense, you know, you're ready, but Lord, you raise the temperature. The same with family members, you know. You start with prayer, and many times you want to listen. Listening is better than just speaking. First, listen to where they are. It could be something a Muslim coworker says, you know, I'm struggling with my family overseas. Or somebody might say, you know, with this attack in London, people might hate Muslims. And you might say, you know, let's pray for whatever happens, that, you know, God would change it for the good. And so that's the way when you want to talk one-on-one. However, there are 7 million Muslims in America. There is 1.5 billion Muslims on this planet. I doubt we can have a personal conversation / relationship with all of them. So part of the joy of serving with Crescent Project is we believe in sowing widely, sowing the gospel widely. And we have these Give a Gospel packets where we ask people to get the Bible and give it to someone. Maybe you stop at the gas station and the gas station attendant is from the Muslim country, or you're stopping in a university campus, or you go to school, you know, maybe you can see a Muslim and you can give them a Bible. I like to travel sometimes in a plane or in the car. I usually have some of these Arabic Bibles. And, you know, it could be a three-minute conversation. I'll greet them. I show them respect. And I say, I'd like to give you a gift, the words of Jesus. And we are discovering that many, many Muslims today are interested in knowing about Christ. Now, when I started this ministry, we'll hear about a Muslim getting saved maybe once a year, every 2 years. But in these last couple of years, we're hearing of a Muslim getting saved every week, and we're trusting the Lord for more to happen in 2017.
There is a, I know you have a conference coming up in Europe that we'll talk about, and maybe we'll do that here after the bottom of the hour break. I know that's been an area of passion and concern for you, but there's also a conference that happens. The next Sierra Challenge will be in Minnesota and St. Paul. You've been holding it there at the Bethel University for a number of years. Just that's June 20th, 24th. Just say a word about that. Give us a little couple-minute ad for the Sierra Challenge.
Oh, thanks, Dean. Sierra Challenge is a very intense conference. It's specifically to learn about Islamic culture, Islamic religion, how to build bridges, and then how to plant churches among Muslims. It is June 20th, 24th on the campus of Bethel University. And space is limited. So we'd appreciate if people can sign up quickly. They can sign up on crescentproject.org /Sahara. And the nice thing about this conference, we've seen so many go through it, and now not only serving in America, but serving overseas and serving for a long time. And it's exciting to see how God uses this little training to equip the saints for the work of the kingdom.
Fuad Masri is founder and president of the Crescent Project, and you can find out more on their website, crescentproject.org. Also, for those that want to take it to the next level and have a commitment to sharing your faith and to seeing God's kingdom advance in the Muslim world, you can check out the Sierra Challenge. It comes to St. Paul, June 20 to 24. We're going to talk about a conference coming up in Europe here in May, and I encourage you to be praying about that. We'll talk more about, you know, how do we, you know, we tend to live kind of isolated lives. What are some good ways to get out of our comfort zone and engage with Muslims in our community? More on that as we talk connecting with Muslims, communicating the gospel effectively and purposefully. Fuad Masri is the founder and director of the Crescent Project joining us today. Our phone number is 877-93-FAITH. It's 877-933-2484. If you have a question or a comment, you can join in. If you'd like to drop us a note, you can go to myfaithradio.com, click on the Connecting Faith show page, and send us an email. Heart and our prayer, and certainly Fuad Masri's heart and prayer for many years. His passion is to see Muslim background men and women come to Christ, and he has spent most of his life just sharing the love of Christ with Muslims and helping us to do so sensitively and purposefully and effectively to reach Muslims and to build bridges. And we were talking about communicating with Muslims with Fuad, founder of the Crescent Project. You can go to crescentproject.org to sign up to be part of their prayer team. We mentioned, Fuad, that there is an event coming up in Europe. I know that you've been traveling to Europe as well. And obviously great need there with many refugees streaming into that nation. And, of course, a lot of our attention today is on the the attack in London. But say a bit about this conference in Vienna and maybe just a story or two about the impact of the gospel in the refugee camps in Europe.
Yes, sir. With the coming of refugees, we're seeing there's about 20,000 refugees in Vienna, Austria alone. We had a team this summer in Sicily, and we had another team go to Athens. We had a team come back from Greece 2 weeks ago working with refugees. A lot of churches sending workers, and the European church is being awakened to two things: the immigrant population, which is mostly Muslim, and the refugee population that's mostly Muslim. And I think with the attacks in Brussels, Germany, Nice, I think that a lot of people are struggling to know what to do. Now, I believe that security and safety is the responsibility of the government. That's their job, to make sure that people are secure. However, the church has a bigger job, which is sharing the gospel. So we did a few trainings. We've been in London. We've been in Spain. And we did a training in Vienna. And this year, we're starting an annual conference. It'll be May 19 and 20 in Vienna on reaching Muslims in Europe. Our goal is to rally the church, equip the church, and then work alongside of them in planting churches among Muslims who have moved to Europe. Europe is a free country, and many Muslims have the freedom to leave Islam and follow Jesus without being killed or harassed by the governments.
Fuad, tell us about, and so I want to encourage listeners to be in prayer about that outreach and the ongoing work of Crescent Project. But, you know, we do live sometimes isolated lives, or we, you know, we have our church friends, but that we don't always get outside our comfort zone to engage with Muslims in our community. Any thoughts on how we can maybe be purposeful in that way?
Well, first and foremost, they can go on a mission trip. I mean, our conference in Vienna, people can come to it. It's a weekend, but they can come. They can come to our trips. We have teams going everywhere. This summer, there are other ministries taking teams. So going on a short-term trip is wonderful. I mean, you have your citizenship. You have the ability to go and come back, and you can meet people. I mean, if you've met two Muslims a day and shared the gospel, in 15 days, you'll share the gospel with 30 people. But, you know, maybe you couldn't meet in your neighborhood, but now you are in their neighborhood. So that's number one. Number two, if you have neighbors or if you have a way to touch base with Muslims, whether at work, neighborhood, at school, there are a lot of events that we can show hospitality. The Bible encourages us that we as believers should be hospitable. And what we are recommending for believers is, you know, Easter, Thanksgiving, Christmas, 4th of July. It could be even right now, you know, the Final Four is going to happen soon. You know, these major events in our culture are very fun. People get together, you know, they talk, they laugh. So these are great times to invite Muslims. It doesn't have to be all the time talking about the Savior. It could be just showing them how Christians enjoy sports, how Christians celebrate Easter, how Christians celebrate Thanksgiving. How do Christians celebrate our Independence Day? Sadly, what Muslims see is what they watch, you know, down the street or maybe on television. But we Christians are a different society. So invite them over. Maybe they can come watch a basketball game or the Super Bowl. Or maybe you can say, hey, it's Easter time for us, and we'd like to have you come over for a meal. Or you want to come with us to a service. Or maybe Bible study, maybe doing a Bible study on why the resurrection is important. You will find that many Muslims welcome that. They are in America. Some of them want to engage the culture. Some of them are afraid. They don't think we are nice people, but in reality, we are nice people. These Muslims are listening to the news media, which is usually they want the story and they want to heighten it. So hospitality, taking the initiative. Another place that always we need help is refugee centers. Refugees today come from many countries, some of them from Muslim countries. And what we're finding out that the biggest need they have is learning English, because they come, some of them don't even know how to read and write, and they're struggling with How can I go to the store? Where do I get milk for the kids? Where do I go shopping? Can I find stuff that I used to find in my home country? So usually, someone who maybe take them shopping or teach them English or tell them, where to go. I remember one gentleman in Houston said to me, I was helping them find out where to go get a driver's license. That's, something very simple. Just take them to get a driver's license and learn how to read the test. And so these are things that we can really engage Muslims at a level that's very loving, very natural, very accommodating and helping. And this is who we are. As Americans, we welcome people. Sure, we defend our country too. Absolutely. That's number one. Protecting the country is number one. But we also welcome people. We're a welcoming society. The second thing is we are Christian. So that's a deeper commitment as for me as an American, Arab American who loves Jesus. My commitment to Jesus, that's who are my allegiance to, number one. And so I want to show them the love of Christ. And it's exciting that we're dedicating this program to talking about this because you don't hear that in the news. Everybody is scared. Everybody is, worried. And we are saying, Jesus tells us, do not fear. I am with you. And God is moving before you talk to them. One lady was given her Bible. And she said, this is what she said. She had just met her neighbor. And she said, I've been always looking for a Bible in Arabic. Thank you for giving me this one. I did not even know I can find it. Another gentleman, a Sudanese, was watching TV, and there was a quick ad asking people to come to a church service. He comes to the service and becomes a believer. God was working in him before he even showed up at the shores of the United States.
Do we wait for maybe questions to be asked, or do we maybe seek to ask questions of our guests to engage in some spiritual conversations?
One of the best thing to do is to ask people where they're from. And if they say, well, I was born in America, I'd say, oh. And they would say, I was born in America, but my parents, let's say, are from Pakistan or Bangladesh or, Morocco. Well, it's great. Ask them, oh, have you been there? Tell us about it. Everybody is proud about their country. You come to the United States, you go everywhere, and people are proud of their state. I mean, Minnesotans are proud of the, their state. They're the largest mall in America is in Minnesota. You go down to Texas, they're proud of their arena. So each state is proud of where they are. Same thing, people are proud of their heritage. So asking that question, something similar as, what do you miss about that country? Did you visit there? How long you've been here? Do you have family? Begin the conversation where they see that you are genuinely interested in them, because we are. And then second, ask questions like, have you read the Bible? Have you heard about the gospel? And he might say, I'm not interested, or I read parts of the Bible and didn't understand it. Well, that's okay. Whatever response is, that will help us get the conversation moving in a direction that leads it to Christ.
And I know you've said it before that, our goal is not, our goal is simply to share the love of Christ, right? And we trust that God's Spirit is working, and so it doesn't have to be high pressure, any of that.
Amen. Amen. And let the conversation move, and the Lord will open the door because He is on the throne.
Is this a time when there is maybe those that are from Muslim backgrounds maybe questioning their beliefs a bit more? And so are there maybe new opportunities like we've not seen before?
Since September 11, the increase of Muslims leaving Islam has exponentially grown. We are seeing not only Muslims leaving Islam for Christianity, but we are seeing Muslims becoming atheists. So now there is a website called Muslim Atheists or exmuslim.org. And these voices were not there before. People are devastated and upset, especially when they hear jihad, all these points. today also on just from the Christian arena, we are hearing of more people getting saved. And the exciting part with that is that the way they're coming to Christ are on three main points. There's always these three main points. One, they hear the gospel from a friend or a committed believer. Two, they read the Bible in their language. And three, they see a vision or dream of Jesus. And so these three factors are one we've seen today more than ever before that's drawing Muslims to Christ.
Well, I'd want to encourage people to go to crescentproject.org to find out about the resources available. You've written a number of them, and you can get on their prayer team, begin praying each Friday at noon. Fouad's written several books, including Ambassador to Muslims and Connecting with Muslims, a guide to communicating effectively. Fouad, as we began the show today, I wonder if you would even just close out our time together and just let's pray that we, as God's people, might have hearts of love and compassion and boldness to share our faith, and pray that God would continue to work in the hearts of Muslims to come to faith. Would you close us in prayer?
Yes, brother. Thank you, Lord, that you are with us day in, day out. We ask for wisdom, clarity, courage, strength, and above all, we ask for your holy love, the Holy Spirit, to fill us with the agape love, the unconditional love. Lord, today we pray for strong leaders across this planet who will take a stand against terrorism, take a stand against jihad, and they will keep our countries in countries that are free, in countries that are open, so that Muslims can change and leave Islam and follow Jesus. We pray also, Lord, for Muslims not only in America, but Muslims overseas, that you will draw them closer to yourself. We pray, Lord, that you send someone to show them love, that as they watch the news today, they will seek you, Jesus, because you are the Prince of Peace. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Fouad Masri, who is founder of the Crescent Project, and he is passionate about sharing Christ with Muslims and equipping us as believers to do the same, to sensitively and purposefully share our faith with the Muslims through the Bridges materials, lots of materials available. Check it out online, crescentproject.org. Fouad Masri joining us today. I appreciate his heart and passion, and I hope you're encouraged by what God's doing and want to be a part of it. Thanks for joining us. We've got just a moment to spend some time with Leith Anderson coming up. We get to do that each and every other Wednesday, and so we'll get to that just ahead here on Connecting Faith.
Build your kingdom here. Let the darkness fear. Show your mighty hand. Heal our streets and lands. Set your church on fire. Win this nation back. Change the atmosphere. Build your kingdom here. We pray.
You're listening to Connecting Faith. And it's Wednesday, and that gives us an opportunity to connect with Leith Anderson, president of the National Association of Evangelicals and a longtime pastor, author, and speaker. And Leith, welcome back. I always love the opportunity to talk with you about faith and the church and culture.
Neil, you are really good at bringing up challenging topics. Well, so can't wait to find out what you've got in mind.
Well, today I know that you and a number of Christian leaders just this past week sent a letter to Senate and House leadership regarding protecting foreign assistance. And, of course, the budget is working its way through Capitol Hill. And say a bit more, and I know you wrote an editorial on that, but say a bit more about your concerns in this area. What was that, the heart of the letter?
Well, at the heart of the letter, which is also the editorial that just came out from me in Newsweek magazine a few hours ago, is that, let me give you some background. A survey was taken a while back, and Americans were asked, what percentage of our budget goes to foreign aid? And the most popular answer was 25%. And then the next question was, well, what percentage should it be? And the answer was 10%, which is a tithe, which reflects our Christian heritage. And what it actually is less than 1%. So we just have a concern that America, you know, we keep 99% for ourselves, but let's hang on to this 1% that we give to others. You know, I've traveled much of the world in missionary contexts, and I've so often been proud to be an American when I've seen what our country has done with foreign aid. But I also recognize that, we'd better be really cautious about cutting back. God's blessed us, and we need to bless others. And you know, I look at things like, maybe you follow the news, 100,000 people in South Sudan are right up at the edge of starvation. I think it was 60 Minutes this last week had pictures of children just starving. And it's a militarized area that can only get food in by dropping it from airplanes. We just can't let these people die. So we just need to do our part. It's a Christian commitment, and a whole cross-section of evangelical leaders and others across America. Cardinal Dolan from New York City is one of the top signers on the letter. Just making sure that we do our part as best we can, and certainly nothing less than 1%.
Of course, and we, I guess, fail to realize the kind of positive impact, you know, these dollars have. I mean, it's not just money being thrown away. I mean, if we would invest here, there would certainly be a difference maybe where we'd have to invest in other areas.
Well, especially when it's a life and death issue, especially when it's relating to children and circumstances that people have no control over. If there's a drought, or take what has happened with HIV in Africa or with Ebola, and diseases. These are things that Christians have been deeply involved in, and many of the areas where our foreign aid goes is the same area where our missionaries go, and they're working with people, but they need this assistance. It's one of the delights that when you go to a place where people are starving and you see these sacks of grain and they have an American flag embossed on them, and you think, hey, my country has stepped up to meet the needs of people, and we need to keep doing that.
The letter went out this past week. You can read Lee's column as well in the Newsweek here coming up. There was an article that I want to get your reaction to in Christianity Today last week, or March issue, featured Ron Dreher's proposal called the Benedict Option. And the idea was that we are at kind of precarious times in our Christian culture, and we need to maybe regroup a little bit. Just say a bit about your reaction or thoughts on this.
Well, as I mentioned before, you're good at challenging topics. I'm so glad we have 2 hours to talk about it, because I know that won't cover the subject, but at least we'll get it started. Well, it's from St. Benedict. He was the founder of the monastic movement, the Benedictine order, back in the 6th century. And it was a time when the Roman Empire was sort of crumbling. And he called people to Christian community that was stronger. And, you know, you got to agree with that. And that's a clarion call for us today, that when we get together, if it's a Bible study, that we actually study the Bible, that what we have in common is not primarily which baseball or football team that we like the best, but it's our Christian faith and our Christian values. So the principle of the Benedict Option is really good, although there are lots of different applications for how this can take place. And we don't want to withdraw from culture. We don't want to become isolationists. As Christians, we need to be responsible for the generation of which we're a part.
Lee, Ted here. Thanks for joining us again today. And just piggybacking on that, you kind of answered this already, but pulling back from culture, that didn't work out so well like in the early 1900s when the fundamentalist movement really took root. What is the NEA's position, perhaps, on a cultural engagement? Are there any guidelines that you have as an organization for being in the world but not of it?
We do, and we have a document that has been broadly crafted from evangelicals all over the country. It's called For the Health of the Nation, and for those that want to see it, it's available at nae.net. But it recognizes that Jesus has called us to be part of the culture, to be part of the world, but not of it, and that's not an easy thing to do. But we need to remember that, you know, Jesus sent out his disciples to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the empire to Jews and Gentiles and slave and free, called them to be salt and light. And that's, you know, that's part of what our calling is as Christians. So it's obedience to Jesus in that, and not just our withdrawing from the things that we dislike in the culture of which we're a part.
You know, speaking of, for the health of the nation, and I look forward to seeing that report on NAE.net, but we had a recent guest on the show talking about men leaving the pastorate every day, and yet churches are being planted every day. And I guess, you know, from your vantage point, what's the bigger story of those two, and maybe why are pastors leaving the ministry?
Pastors are leaving the ministry. There's some that would say that that is a higher level than in the past, and maybe it is. But, Neil, think about people you know, that people that are leaving other professions. In America, people have multiple careers, not just multiple jobs, but multiple careers. So recently I was talking to a medical doctor, and I said, well, you know, tell me about your license and where you practice medicine. He said, well, I got an MD from the University of Michigan, but I never got a license. I decided I didn't want to practice medicine. So although he's got an academic career that has turned out to be amazing, but this is something people do. They switch careers, and pastors are not exempt from that. So that's part of it. But there are other reasons. It's finances, it's health, family issues, difficult congregations, retirement, and some that never should have been pastors in the first place. It's that combination of things. And it varies around the country. You know, it's you listen on the news to what the weather is, and you know that the weather is different in Maine than it is in Texas, and some places are having tornadoes and downfall of rain, and others are having a drought. And the same thing is true with the church and pastoral ministry. So simultaneously, there's flourishing and there's failure. And we need to be careful that we don't overgeneralize and either indict people for things for which they're not responsible, or maybe even overly praise people for which they shouldn't get any credit.
A good word there. In closing, Leith, we only have about 90 seconds left here, but Easter's coming up, April 16th, only a couple weeks away. Do you have any advice for us as Christians how we can maybe invite a non-believer to an Easter service?
What we need to remember is the number one reason that anybody ever comes to a church is because they were invited. And especially unchurched people. If they're not invited, they're not going to come. So I think it's simple. I mean, this is what, you know, I would do and have done. You talk to a neighbor or a friend, you say, hey, what are you doing for Easter? And whatever they say, tell them what you're doing for Easter. And then say, well, why don't we get together? Why don't we go to church together, and then we can go out to eat afterwards. If you're going to go out to eat, you either need to do a reservation or a fast food place on Easter. But it, just make it simple, make it practical, and be surprised how many people say, sure, let's do it.
Yeah, well, in fact, that probably is the surprising thing, isn't it? I mean, that people would come if they were asked.
Oh, absolutely. A high percentage of people will come if they're asked. And maybe we have a fear that they'll say no, but maybe we should have an expectation that they'll say yes.
Good word, as always. Leith, sure appreciate you, and thanks for being willing to take on those hard questions. We'll try and come up with some more for the next Wednesday get-together.
You're so good at it. I'm not worried.
Leith Anderson is president of the National Association of Evangelicals and a longtime pastor for 35 years at Wooddale Church in Eden Prairie, author and a speaker. You can find out more about the good work of the National Association of Evangelicals on their website, NAE.net, NAE.net, and look for Leith's article about protecting foreign assistance, too, in Newsweek magazine. I want to encourage you to stay with us here on Faith Radio for great Bible teaching coming up here in just a moment from Paul Shepherd. You'll find him challenging and encouraging. And join us tomorrow as well. Tomorrow, we're going to talk about Generation IY, that young adult teen population is going to have an influence like nothing else in our culture for years to come. And we'll get some expert insight on that tomorrow on Connecting Faith. So join us then. If you missed part of today's show, want to pass it on to a friend, just go to the Connecting Faith show page at myfaithradio.com. Thanks for listening to this Connecting Faith podcast. These conversations are available because of listener support. And you can make a gift right now at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing future editions of Connecting Faith, you can subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend and growing the awareness and impact of Connecting Faith.